You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio with us. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Seems I've missed you a bit being out of town.
I know.
So glad to see you this morning. So you live in the dream. Since high school, you wanted to be mayor of Fairhope, and here you are.
Yes, I'm living the dream. Even on the challenging days, it's a good day.
There you go. Every day is a good day in paradise. So how did the meeting go? It was a busy work session agenda. What would you like to tell us about from that?
It was a busy work session agenda, and I think most of what we ended up talking about on there were department just going over the agenda, kind of reviewing that. There were some big items on the agenda for like water and sewer, so really spent a lot of time on the department head updates and asking some questions on there. Actually, the first thing on the work session, the Restore Act sewer project was pulled. That was just simply because we need to get a little bit more information from Andy, and we're working on that restore project, so we went ahead and pulled that until we can get everybody together and talk about a few things on that project to make sure we've got all the updates before we go to the council. And then the second thing was the discussion of the proposed grant improvements for the 40-acre colony property. They're wanting to go after an ADECA grant or an economic development grant to possibly put some disc golf, a lake, some things on that colony property at 44 and 13.
That is what is behind the Boy Scouts.
Correct.
Building
where the Boy
there.
Scout
44
is.
And 13. Mm-hmm. I don't think I realized all of that was city property. The colony gave it to the city for park property. Is that right?
They did. And, you know, anytime you can enhance a parkland, it's a good thing for your city. And that property's just really not utilized as much as it should be. So for us to be able to get a grant, probably an 80-20 grant, to be able to get a grant to do some things out there, maybe put a little lake where people could fish, do some picnic areas, do some trails, put another disc golf course out there, I think it would make a great corridor for recreation between that park, and then you're going to have the soccer complex, and then of course the acreage that the city has for future recreation development at 32 and 13.
And speaking of recreation, some trees were cut down and plans are in motion to expand Volanta Park. Tell us about that.
That's right. And that was on the agenda as well, on the engineering for that. So there are three projects going on at Volanta. One is just the ADA accessibility of the stadium, to add some ramping in the stadium, to add some new handrails, and to change out the facade of the home side. Then the other thing is adding a jumbotron in the end zone. So some trees were taken down there where the current scoreboard is, to put a jumbotron up, which is a partnership between the high school and the city, and some donors that Coach Tim Carter has been able to secure. And then the third project is an expansion of the baseball fields, and probably the most visible would be up on Greeno, right there by the rec center. There were some trees taken down to make way for the playing surfaces of the fields. So that's the only trees that we took down at this point is anything that would interfere with the playing surfaces. There will be some driveway access through there, some additional parking that will take you over to the Volanta property, and kind of just create a connectivity between those two parks. So probably a few more trees to come down, hopefully not too many. We're trying to preserve as many as we can.
Okay. Then I know when my kids were younger, that's where youth football practiced. So where are they going to go?
Well, youth football will still – they have the area at Mike Ford Tennis Center. There's a green space there they can use.
Right.
They also go out to Founders and use the outfield of some of those fields there. They've been able to – and the soccer complex, that used to be at Founders is not there anymore, so there's a lot of open space there. We also have the Barnwell complex, which I do not think we had when probably your kids were
That's
young.
That's right, the big football field there.
And we have two fields there. Mm-hmm. So there should be plenty of green space for football to practice.
Right. They're my youngest in his final play-in days. We actually got to play on that field a little bit as it was brand new. Okay. Well, very good. And so anything else on the work session?
There was a lot of discussion about number four on the work session, which was the discussion of a recycling agreement we have with Emerald Coast Utilities out of Pensacola. They just want to renegotiate our contract and increase the price for recyclables. because we have to deliver them over there right now. We don't really have any other options for selling recycled material.
Recycling's always been tough because you want to do it to be good stewards of the environment, right. But it costs the city money, doesn't it?
It does cost the city money. And some of that market, will move up and down based on fuel prices because of the plastics. So we're going to look at that contract and it'll be back on the council agenda so people will hear more about that. And then, of course, the money with the American Rescue Plan that the city's getting, we're going to receive $1.9 million. We get that in two allotments. And there is some, parameters to how you can use the money, some federal guidelines that you have to match, some compliance, that kind of stuff. But Kim Creech and Jason Langley talked last night about plans for that money. And you can reimburse lost revenues. You can also use it for water and sewer infrastructure upgrades. So that's the plan right now. There's a Valley Street lift station that needs to be rehabbed that we're going to do with that money first, and then also look at some lost revenues. We lost during the pandemic and stuff about $450,000 in revenues. So we'll look at reimbursing the general fund and then using the rest of that money for sewer upgrades.
Okay. All right. Very good. And on to the meeting. One of the first items on the agenda is the report of the mayor. What would you like to tell us from that?
Really, my report was pretty small last night. I had, we were trying to get through the agenda. Jack is a huge Mississippi State fan. So, and he was, gracious with his time, obviously, and there ended up being a rain delay. So I think he got to see the start of the game. But we were trying to, be courteous and make sure he got out of there. So my report was kind of small. But one thing I would want to mention that I did not mention last night was, there was a lot of trees in Fly Creek after the storms, and people were calling in about that. And so we were able to work with the state, with Chris Blankenship from ACDNR, and ask him, to fund the removal of those trees. And they came through. So the state actually reimbursed us $24,000 for the removal of those trees, and we got those funds this week. So we're real excited about that and that partnership and just, them willing to fund that.
Okay. All right.
The other thing, of course, we talked about was we had our first kickoff for the comp plan and GIS restore project. It was just an organizational meeting with the contractors and the subcontractors to talk about billing and contracting and that kind of stuff.
For what kickoff for the comp GIS plan? I'm not familiar.
The comprehensive plan. So okay. We're going to be redoing our comprehensive plan and also doing a GIS, mapping everything in the city.
Right.
Whether it be, utility infrastructure or whatever that might be. So we had that kickoff meeting, and people will start hearing more about that comp plan review coming up in the next several months. There'll be tons of public engagement, but you'll start hearing more and more about that.
Is that when several years ago we went to the Civic Center and voted for
dots.
Our favorite map and used dots about our favorite plan
That's
and
right.
the village concepts and
correct.
All that? Okay.
That's correct. So you'll start seeing more information about that.
Okay, good. All right.
And then, of course, everybody, July 4th. We talked about July 4th and the
yes.
plans for that. So excited to be able to have people, have that event again, just have people gather and have the Ball and Pops back. I think this will be their first concert back. So we're excited about that and having the fireworks. It's one of the, probably only the second time in history, I think, of Fairhope. I know we did it once when I worked for Fairhope previously, but using a contractor to shoot the fireworks. So anxious to, to just to see the fireworks and
wasn't that due to
July
a change 4th. In the pyrotechnics law and due to COVID our guys didn't have time to update that training or certification?
It's basically a safe shooter law with pyrotechnics. Okay. And they have to actually be an apprentice on 6 different shows, and during COVID there was not any shows to be an apprentice on. So we're going to see how this goes. Obviously, we have a volunteer fire department that does a great job, but if this goes well, and we see that it works out, there's a possibility that they may shoot New Year's Eve, and we'll see, have our guys
have
there
a holiday
and,
off,
that's right
yeah.
and see how they and if they want to continue with that or not.
So the fireworks are at approximately 9 p.m. The pops will be on the bluff on top, the Henry George bluff. And then tell us about getting into the Pier Park and parking and whatnot.
Right. Obviously people know that's a challenge. Always is. So their parking is going to be limited. One thing I would let people know is once that North Beach Park is full, the police will close that off, so there's no additional traffic allowed in there. But again, parking around the perimeter, some of that will be blocked just for emergency services, that kind of thing. But, when the circle fills up, they will close it off, and the same thing. Just most people will park on the perimeter and walk in or, watch from some of the bluffs. One thing people need to know, too, is that the pier, they will load in on Friday. So on Friday, they'll load – no, Saturday. I'm sorry. I'm getting my days mixed up. Saturday, they will load in. So there'll be a period of time Saturday morning where the pier will be closed off while they load in those fireworks. Then it'll open back up, and only half the pier will be open Saturday afternoon and Sunday because that's where the fireworks show's set up.
Okay. All right. Very good. Looking forward to that.
Yes, me too.
So much. Trying to return to some sense
of
normalcy,
that's right?
Right?
Get back to normal.
I'm going to go down to number 11 unless there's something before that you wanted to mention.
I don't think so.
On the city council agenda. And that was a topographic survey for the Triangle property. And I had another notice for a Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board. Review of work on an easement for the Dias Parkland property. Those are one and the same, right?
They are. Well, okay. They're one and the same, but it's the same piece of property. But the topographic survey will be a topo survey and a tree inventory of that complete piece of property. Because as we move forward wanting to develop that, whether it be with trails, outdoor classrooms, whatever it might be, we need to have, you know, a topographical survey and also a tree inventory. But the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board, what they're helping us with is, you know, we've talked a long time about a conservation easement. We want to preserve that piece of property as parklands. So basically, Michelle Melton, who's on the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board, and Amy Paulson and Ben, who are on that committee, they have extensive knowledge in you know, these environmental projects. So what they're helping us do is come up with an agreement where we do basically a quick claim deed with Fairhope Single Tax. So we would all be in the same room. We're not, you know, giving the property to Single Tax for X number of, maybe for 30 seconds, as we do a quick claim deed to put some restrictions on that property so it maintains as parklands. You know, most of our bluffs are handled that way, have been handled that way, and they have been challenged in court. So we feel like this is a good way for us to make sure that property is preserved without having to do a conservation easement.
And the Dias Triangle, for those that are newer to the area, is the property on your way in when you turn from 98 onto
right.
Section,
right.
That it's immediate acreage.
Right. Veterans Drive splits that piece
right.
of property.
Okay.
So that's a kind of a good way to look at it. But, you know, we're trying to move forward with, again, making sure we preserve that piece of property as parklands. By doing this quick claim deed with Single Tax, what that means is if we ever wanted to do something on that piece of property, there would be two layers. There would be the city council that it would probably go to first, and if people got elected who wanted to do a development on that property, Single Tax would have oversight because it has deed restrictions. That means it has to stay parklands. Then if you had a Single Tax board who agreed that, yes, we want to develop it, then it would actually go to a vote of the membership of Single Tax to say, you know, they could overturn that decision of their board. And then the third layer, too, is that we have submitted for an ADECA grant. And when you submit with a grant with ADECA, you have to maintain the parkland. And any changes you want to make, you have to submit that to ADECA, and they have to approve it. I mean, we have a lot of grant properties that
right,
are that way.
Right. My concern is we've got a lot of parkland. We're getting more, but we're growing so very fast.
We are.
Where are the city buildings going to expand if we don't have property like that? The Civic Center is outdated. I mean, it, you know, we need expansion. Where will it be if that big piece of city property is reserved solely for parkland?
Well, we have, you know, there is a plan, hopefully it's a 3 to 5 year plan on the City Hall Civic Center complex to look at the possibility of rehabbing that piece of property. You know, we have an agreement right now with USA that's in place. They use the, I guess it would be the west end of that property, the west side of that property, and we only did a 3 year lease.
So that could all
so
be expanded.
That could
for
all
city.
Be expanded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the K1 Center property, you know, we've talked about a performing arts
that's
center
right.
there.
Yeah.
So we are continuing to talk about that, and I think that probably in the next several years you'll see a capital campaign for that to be able to build a performing arts center there.
And there's really room for more than that.
There is. There is. And again, I think that we just have to be, you know, City Hall could go 2 stories, I mean, to free up some more space for a civic center. So there are some options that we have. That would be us working with some design professionals to, you know, utilize the space to, you know, for efficiency and for what we need it for.
Okay. I'm turning to page 2. Anything on there that you want to highlight? And then I'll tell you what I've highlighted or however you'd like to do that.
I think the one thing that I would want people to pay attention to mostly on, I guess, on this agenda is how many utility upgrades that you're seeing, which I think are so important for us to note. I mean, you have the water wells, the for water and sewer. You have an on-call engineering service. You have, you know, another one where we're looking at a new water transmission line on County Road 33, which is a 2.6-mile line.
That's a big one. I did have it highlighted because it's $415,000. And this is part of what will lead to another water treatment plant eventually?
Well, yes. Well, it's a water line, not so much a water treatment plant, but it's a water line. And it's, again, it's 2.6 miles, but it is a $4 million project. So what it will basically do is increase our capacity to 13 million gallons of water. And currently we use about 7 million gallons of water. But on a day where, you know, or if we get into a drought situation, this will allow us the capacity to, you know, for future growth. So we're upgrading the line. It'll be a 24-inch line. It'll be 2.6 miles, and it will increase our water capacity to 13 million gallons.
Forgive my ignorance on this, but does that also mean with more and larger water line, when there's rain, an excessive amount of rain in a short period of time, it can handle more?
We're hoping we don't have that infiltration, but I mean, this is a water line, like drinking water.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's going to increase that capacity. So if people, especially on the north end of town, like Rock Creek and some of those places who have low water pressure, this was going to help with that.
Okay. And County Road 1 seems to have a lot of water problems.
They do. But, I mean, this, it's hard for us right now with the size line that we have to push water into town. And again, especially when you have those droughts, you know, everybody in Fairhope wants to water their lawns. They have irrigation meters and all that kind of stuff. So this, again, will increase our water capacity. So we're really excited about these projects. And, you know, Jason Langley and the water and sewer guys are doing such a great job. But, you know, it's a real credit to the staff and to the council that they continue to make these investments in our infrastructure and that our staff is really moving forward with these projects.
Just literally millions.
Yes, it's one of the things
sewer,
I'm most proud
water,
of right now because things are really moving forward.
Okay. Jack and I mentioned this yesterday, 5,000 strings of outdoor miniature LED lights and $48,750. He said it looks like that's lower than last year. Maybe we were able to reuse some, as we're hoped.
It is. It's lower than last year. We did a really good – they counted them three times. It's kind of funny talking about that process. We wanted to make sure we, you know, obviously ordered enough lights, but we need to know how many that we had in inventory. And we had quite a few in inventory. And the other thing is you may see these come back up on the agenda again after the first of the year. You know, these lights come from China. So they have told us, our supplier has said, listen, what we have, they have a lot of lights right now. What we have in inventory is what we have. So we may end up having to order some more to make sure we have them for tree lighting 2022, depending on what we use and what we might need in inventory, because we don't know when we're going to get anymore. Because as everybody knows, supplies are, you know, scarce right now when you're getting them from another country.
Speaking of China, I heard a news article recently about computer chips and transformer chips coming from China, and how utilities, municipalities shouldn't be ordering the chips from China anymore. Where do ours come from?
To be honest, I have no idea. I would have to ask that question. Okay. But, I mean, we would love to buy American-made, obviously, when
certainly.
We can. And I'm sure that's something that our suppliers are, you know, conscious of, but...
But
I would
from
have
what
to
I
ask
understand,
that question.
The overwhelming majority come from China.
I'm sure.
The choices are limited. Okay. Number 21, what is this? Pumps and controls for the tennis club lift station on County Road 32.
Right. This is just, again, a rehab of a lift station. It will allow us to redo those pumps, and it just, again, more infrastructure upgrades, things that need to be done.
Well, I wanted to, I told Jack, and I'll mention it again, and I mention it to friends when the discussion comes about, especially when between Mobile Area Water and Sewer Service and the Pritchard Water Sewer, almost 1 million gallons of sewer overflowed and spilled in Mobile County during the rain event last week, Fairhope, under 100,000. I believe it was only 55.
I think it was 5.
One was 5, and then we had one more the week before,
right.
I think, that was maybe 50,000.
Right. But we have really, the crew, Lori, and I want people to understand this, when we know we're going to have these major rain events, we have staff here. They're watching these critical lift stations that we know that we have issues with, and they are making sure they have pumps right there so they can pump. You know, we're really, the spills that we've had are just on the ground. They're not like getting into waterways.
Yeah, I was going to compliment the difference, because I can remember just, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago, reporting 175,000
gallons. We are really trying to make sure that we're, you know, doing what we need to do to keep that from happening. But obviously, when you have power failures, you have these large rain events that infiltrate your system. I mean, again, I'll remind people, make sure you look for your, you know, your sewer caps in your yard. Make sure you are not lifting manhole covers. Make sure that you're doing the things to help us make sure that we don't have those infiltrations. But it's really important to us that we are limiting those spills and doing what we can to, you know, be good stewards.
Right. It's my understanding generators were at the problem lift stations that were anticipated could go out of power and overflow if they did. And that.
Correct.
So I'm very pleased. I know I've had adversaries say, well, 1 gallon is too many. Well, yeah,
it
but
is.
Hey, when you're going to 50 gallons from hundreds of thousands or whatever, I mean, I think that's
and again, the American Rescue Plan money, I mean, you know, being able to utilize that money, getting, you know, when you have these bigger projects that are like $200,000, $300,000, where we can take that money and rehab these lift stations. And again, some of the problem areas, it's nice for us to be able to do that. And, you know, Valley Lift Station is going to be one of the first ones that we do.
We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 8:43. And 79 degrees. What else would you like to mention, Sherry, that I haven't thought to address yet?
I really think that is all I have. One thing I did want, I just mentioned in closing, is I have a lot of people asking me about the Martin houses down at the bay, because they see that they're in disrepair and they need to be replaced. Those were another one of those items because of COVID that were delayed coming in, but we have gotten them. They're being assembled, and hopefully soon people will see new Martin houses.
Oh, good.
We're excited about that.
Thank you to our late sweet friend Garland
That's
Sims
right.
for
I know.
Starting that
I know.
Project.
I love it.
Many years ago. So, we're working on now. What's the latest? You mentioned you all had a meeting, or you talked about the waterfront restoration project in the work session. Waiting on money, or
the waterfront project?
Yes.
No, we did not talk about that in the work session. That's okay. But we are what we are waiting for right now is just that ADA portion of the waterfront project to get confirmation on some components of that, and then we will be moving forward.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Thank you, Lori.
Just want to invite everybody once again to the city's 4th of July. That's happening this Sunday.
No.
What is there a rain or thunder policy? What do we do? Just play it by ear?
We do. We play it by ear. You know, we will wait to the very last minute, even if we have rain during the day. I mean, even if we can't, you know, do the concert and, you know, people have to come out at 8 o'clock just for the fireworks, we'll do the best we can just to shoot the fireworks if we have to. Obviously, the band wouldn't be able to play because of their instruments, but we really try to wait to the last minute to make a call on that because we want to. We don't want to have to store, you know, obviously in the past we've had to store fireworks. We wouldn't have to do that this year, but it's a lot of money not to be able to use them. So we want to be able to shoot those fireworks if we can.
Okay, very good. Okay. Thank you so much.
Fairhope
Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. If you missed it or you didn't hear all of it or you'd like to tell a friend, our interviews and talk shows are generally posted by lunchtime on the same day they're broadcast. The website is WABF1480.com.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world that